We read the Bible all the while allowing it to read you. Where the word reaches down in your heart, cleanses and heals the wounds that no one can see. That's God's word. Listen, it's so much more than black letters on a white page. The word of God is living in it, and it wants to do these things and wants us to grow. This is why you're here. When we allow the scripture to get underneath the stuff that we've been hiding, hello, to bring about brokenness. When we allow the word to touch us in the most delicate place in our hearts. Ouch, Lord, that's how we should read God's word. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of In Christ as we continue in the Hope Restored series. Last time, we discovered that prayer begins by hearing God's voice through His Word. Today, we learn what happens when people truly hear Him. God's Word exposes their hearts. The people realize their disobedience and begin mourning over their sin. Yet, Nehemiah refuses to let sorrow become their final decision. Instead, he tells them to rejoice, share with those who have nothing, and celebrate the faithfulness of God. Then something beautiful happens. As they continue reading the scripture, they rediscover the Feast of Booths and immediately obey what God has commanded centuries before. They didn't simply admire God's word, they acted upon it. The evidence that God's word has changed our hearts is seen in lives that joyfully obey Him. Knowledge alone never transforms us. God's word changes us when it moves the 18 inches from our minds to our hearts. So today let's ask, is there something God has already shown you through His word that He's waiting for you to obey? Let's join Pastor Ben in today's lesson from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 18, with the lesson titled, Our Response to God's Word. Here's Pastor Ben.
Why not us? Why wouldn't God use us? Why? He's anointed us. He's gifted us. This is what we're called to do. And so again, when you think about this, the real purpose for the wall is just the beginning. The people didn't see the building, the wall, as the ultimate goal. Well, you know, brother, once we get this done, it's going to be great. Hold on, I got my trowel here, and I'm making sure, and we're building the wall. They realized this was just a part of it, but the real work is about to happen. And they understood that what went inside the walls, it's what really matters. It's the same thing here. It's when you come in, guys, and you open your Bibles and you're writing it and you're seeing and the Holy Spirit is illuminating this in your life. And it's like, this is what matters right here. When you come in broken and hurting and someone says, hey, can I just pray with you? And they put their arms around you and they say, man, we're praying for you. We love you. This is what it's about, because you go, okay. And that's what really matters. And that's what's going on here in the book of Nehemiah. See, the wall is finished and the people, they began to worship. And when they worshiped, there was revival. There was revival. And it was all based on God's word. On God's word. Guys, we come into churches these days. We come in and we're so guarded and we forget. It's like, oh, here's the word of God. Here's the word of God. Now, last week, I just want to remind you, we left off with four elements of worship. And I want you to think about these, guys. Put on your thinking caps. Let it go deep in your heart. Because worship is rooted, number one, in a hunger for God's word. In a hunger for God's word. Now, back in the 80s, back in the 70s, back in the 60s, when the word of God, when the Jesus revolution was hitting, they didn't have the podcasts we have. They didn't have YouTube. They couldn't just put on a radio and listen to teaching after teaching after teaching. It's such a great tool, but what has it done? I'm not hungry for God's word anymore. I have it. I can put it on anytime. I'm okay. And these people go, oh, we didn't have podcasts. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have radio. All we had is Pastor Ezra. When he's preaching, we're going. We're going. They were going, they checked, they were hungry for God's word. And so my prayer for you and I is, let's look at our heart and say, Lord, am I hungry for your word? Am I hungry as I have a relationship with you? Worship is rooted, number two, we talked about in hearing God's word and it being explained and the Holy Spirit illuminating what we're supposed to learn for us in our walks. And then we learned that worship is marked by honor and reverence to the word of God. You realize that when Pastor Ezra stood, when he came to the platform, everybody stood up while they read the word of God. You go, well, that's cool. How long will it take you to read those verses? It wasn't just verses. It was from the break of day to lunch. I don't know about you, but whenever I go to a concert and I have to stand and I have to watch, I get tired. You know, I like start to, okay, I just need to sit down. It used to be when I'd be in front, right? We'd be in the front, yeah, all excited, and we would jump around for 5 hours. Now I'm like, let's find the seat. Let's find the venue where they have seats, and I can just watch them, right? And so you went from this, come on, Sheree, to this. That's where we went to. You go, Pastor, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with your nothing? But they stood up because they had a reverence for the word of God. Do we have a reverence and an honor for God's word? Oh, Lord, give us a hunger. Fourth, we talked about this last week. Worship was rooted in how we understand the word of God and the purpose of the teaching, guys, from discipleship, from men's group, from women's ministry, from the teaching of the word of God, anything. People have to leave here with a good understanding of what God said. This is why churches today are anemic, even though they're mega churches, because they're full of entertainment and everybody goes, oh, that was so fun. That was great. Oh my gosh, he was so funny. He came out. I don't know who was showing me. I forgot who was showing me. But there's a pastor with his britches and he's being lifted up in smoke and all this stuff. And I was like, wow, that's going to draw a crowd. But I don't know if anybody left there with a good understanding of God's word. Well, Pastor, chill, bro. You're bashing other churches. No, what I'm saying is this is where worship comes in. Because when you have a hunger for God's word, when you honor and reverence God's word, when you hear God's word and you understand God's word, this is what bursts forth worship. This is what bursts forth. And listen to me. You got to listen to me. Worship is not the 20 minutes that we do here. That's a part of worship. But worship is spontaneous in your house. You're walking through and you're singing, or you're getting alone with God and your guitar and you're worshiping, or in your car or wherever it might be. It's spontaneous because these elements are existent in your life. This is what it should be happening. Oh, I got 10 minutes. I know what I'll do. I'll scroll. Lord, I got 10 minutes. What can I read? You guys know this. Come on. Tell me I'm not the only one. I'll come to a light. It'll turn red. You'll start flipping your phone. And next thing you know, beep, oh, you've lost track of time. The lights turn green. A friend of mine was driving to the gym the other morning, and he told me he went through two cycles of the light turning green. Thank goodness it was 6 a.m. There was nobody behind him, but he went through two cycles of it turning green and red and yellow and green, and before he realized, oh, I need to go. But here's my point. I'd like to be sitting there, and if I come up to a light, I'm just going to read this. I'm in the Word. It's edifying. So as we finish up tonight, chapter 8, can we take a moment to look and say, Lord, are these elements in my life for worship? For that thing that just is spontaneous in our hearts, do I have a hunger for God's Word? And you go, oh, Pastor, I'm really lacking. Then pray to the Lord. You don't have to tell anybody. Pray to the Lord. I just want a deeper hunger for your Word. I want a deeper hunger. I want to hear God's word. I don't want to just listen to sermons. I need to hear with my heart. I want to honor God's word. I really want to understand how it applies to me. And the rest of chapter 8, we're going to learn people's response to the reading and the teaching of God's word. Now, by way of application, I have learned over the years that there are three ways that we can read the Word of God. Labor with me for just a second. Three ways. You go, what are they? Number one You can read it out of duty, come on somebody, rather than desire. I mean, you get grown up enough in the faith that you go, I need to read my Bible. I just got to read my Bible. I'll just read it. Why are you reading? I got to read my Bible. You go, what do you mean? Well, here's the thing. When we read our Bible simply out of duty, you read it, but it never penetrates the minds or stirs the affections. You just read it. Okay. We can read it that way, too, when we come to the book of Numbers. When we have a lot of genealogy, you just go, okay, I'm going to read it. This guy and this guy and this guy begot this guy, and I don't know how to pronounce this name, and I'm really butchering this name, and da-da-da. We can get that, but when it comes to just the meat of the stuff, I know a lot of people, church, listen to me, I know a lot of people that would read the Word of God, they read it like a newspaper, and it stirs affections a little bit, and they'll jot down some quotes or maybe highlight a verse, and listen, there's nothing wrong with taking notes or jotting down facts or verses. But if reading the Word of God only stirs your heart for that moment, then we're missing all that God has in His Word for us. Missing it. That's why it's important when somebody says, hey, how's your quiet time? How's your devotion time? Where are you in God's Word? It's important. It's not so it's like, nanny, nanny, I'm reading more than you. It's like, really, tell me how is that going? What's God speaking to you? Is there something exciting that He said to you? Wow, that's amazing. Here's why. Because of God's Holy Spirit, He's speaking to every one of us in a beautiful way. In preparing for this message, I realized that there were times that I would go to conferences, take a bunch of notes, come home, put them in my office. Great time, great. At the time, they moved me. Oh, I got to write this down, and I'd be taking notes. But what I needed them to do is much more put them in a binder and put them in my office and maybe come into them one day when I clean. Oh, look what I found. I remember this conference. Oh, that's pretty good notes. Is I needed them to get down in my heart to bring change. To bring change. So I need that. So the first way is we read it out of duty rather than desire. Second, we read it like a newspaper. But let me give you the third one. The third way is we read the Bible all the while allowing it to read you. Come on, church. Where the Word reaches down in your heart, cleanses and heals the wounds that no one can see. That's God's Word. He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Word of God is what inspired, God breathed. And he goes on to talk about proof, reproof, and correction. And that's what it's saying. It's so much. Listen. Oh, you got to get this, church. Listen, it's so much more than black letters on a white page. The Word of God is living in it, and it wants to do these things and wants us to grow. This is why you're here. When we allow the Scripture to get underneath the stuff that we've been hiding, hello, to bring about brokenness. This is what God's Word does. When we allow the Word to touch us in the most delicate place in our hearts. Ouch, Lord. That's how we should read God's Word. Oh, come on, church. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's where we go, yes! And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we should rejoice. Why? Oh, Lord, thank you for sending your Son to come and dwell among us and to teach us and to love us. And that's where we're going to pick up our study in Nehemiah today. You go, what was it? Jot this down. The people were hungry. Then they longed for the Word of God to be read to them. The people were hungry. Picking it up in verse 8, asking yourself this question internally, Lord, am I hungry for your Word? Am I hungry for your Word? It says in verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, quote, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. Here's why. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Your attention, please. These are some amazing verses, but here's what I want you to write down. I want you to notice the response to the teaching of God's word. Their reaction, they wept. Pastor Ezra comes out. They all stand up. He begins to read the words. He begins to read the word of God. And here's what the people do. And they begin to weep. They begin to weep. And so I'm looking at this going, why are they weeping? Why are they weeping when, I mean, I would freak me out a little bit. Sunday morning, I get up here, start teaching the Bible, and everybody in the church is crying. I'd be a little freaked out. I'd be like, what's the matter? But here the time is just like, why are they? One reason I found, you ready? The word of God was doing its intended work. And you go, what's that? Again, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us two things the word of God is. What's that? Profitable for reproof and correction. And correction. So as Ezra begins to read the word, as he begins to teach the Bible, as people are listening with this great hunger in their lives, all of a sudden they're being reproved. There's some correction. Hello? Hello? You understand that? You guys understand that? The illustration that comes to mind is, it might be a silly one. This is the one that comes to mind. It's not part of my notes, but think about this. When you're ever driving and you put on your GPS, anybody ever do that? And it tells you where to go. And when all of a sudden, me and Natalie were notorious for this. We're notorious for this. She's always the navigator. She has the phone. She has Siri or whoever's on there. And I'll be like, okay. And it'll tell us way in advance, turn in 900 feet, right? And you're like, okay, wait, now? And Natalie will go, I don't know, now? And then we'll pass it. And what does the Siri say? You big dummy, you missed it. It always happens. We never get where we're supposed to go. And then we watch our exit going, okay, we're in a city we don't know. Oh, what does it say? Recalculating route. Hey, you missed it? Now turn around. Let's double back. I'm still going to get you where you need to be. Isn't that what God's word does? You're walking in life and, oh, recalculating route, Ben. You're headed in the wrong direction. Come on back. Come on back. And what do we do? Lord, I blew it. I missed it. I can't believe that. Okay. Come on. Let me correct this. You see, but as we grow in God's word and the closer we walk to Jesus, come on, somebody. This is where we weep. This is where we weep in God's word. You see, church, if we're being honest, sometimes it hurts to be reproved and to be corrected. And tears were evidence of some of that pain. The second reason I found is it does hurt when you want to know the word more than you want to know about it. Listen, I have gotten in debates with people who knew the word of God better than I did. They knew scripture, they knew verses, they knew it, but they didn't know my Jesus. And when you come into your prayer closet and you come into your room and you get into your quiet time chair, whatever it is, and you begin to look at the sweetness of God's word. We're not trying to break it down, Old Testament, New Testament. Well, this was written in Greek, and that's in Aramaic, and this is in Hebrew. Just coming with an open heart saying, God, speak to me through your word. What do you have for me? How can I glorify you more in my life? Come on, somebody. What's missing in my heart that I've let go to the side? Or what is it? And so the people here begin to weep and they begin to cry. And the Levites who taught the people, they said to the people, hey, this day is holy unto the Lord. He says, don't mourn or weep. Don't cry. Pastor Ezra, Governor Nehemiah, the Levites, they didn't want the people to mourn, even though it's a good thing to be sad under the conviction of the Holy Spirit through the word of God. Okay? Let me help you out here, guys. Let me help you out. There's a big difference between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the guilt that the enemy puts on you. If you walk away something feeling guilty, that's not God. If you walk away with conviction, even though you're sad, oh, I'm broken. I can't believe this. It's a work of God's Holy Spirit through the Word of God, through the Word of God, through the Word of God. Why? Because you're looking at this and you're reading it. And if it was for me, not you, me, if I were to look in the Word of God, I would have to ask myself, Ben, when was the last time you wept over God's Word in your life? When? It was the other day, and I don't know. It probably has this. Nathalie, you'll have to correct me on this if it's not. But the one thing that Nathalie wanted from her grandmother was her Bible. And the other day, her mom gave her grandma's Bible. And I bet, and you can help me, there were probably tear stains on there, wasn't there? Yeah. I mean, imagine looking through your Bible and there's just tear stains and notes, people you're praying for as God spoke to you. Because that's what he's going to do. You're reading the word of God and he's going to bring someone to your memory. Hey, you need to pray for some. You need to pray for so-and-so. Oh, let me write it right here. Let me write it right here. So Pastor Ezra reminds them. He says, hey, guys, listen, hold on. Don't cry. He says, here's what I want you to do instead. You ready? After the Bible study, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Think about this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Even when we're convicted of sin, when we're convicted of sin, we know that God is doing a work in us. So that we, what? So we can be glad and take joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And this is an amazing response to God's word. This is amazing. You go, what can we glean from this? Here's what he says, always for you and I. You ready? He says, remember the poor. Remember the poor. He says, share with what you have. And he says, the second thing is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord and he'll give you the strength. Let me say this to you and me. Every one of us in this room will go through tough times. Every one of us will go through health crises. Come on, somebody. Every one of us are going to go through a difficult season. But we must remember to rejoice in the Lord. That's where the strength comes from. That's where the strength comes from. And so he's saying, in response to God's word, are we remembering the poor? Are we sharing with what we have? Then he goes on in verse 11, he says, so the Levites quieted all the people saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people, what did they do? They went their way, eat and drink, send portions and rejoice greatly. Why? Because they understood the words that were declared to them. I know that we haven't been in God's word, Ezra says. I know. Listen, we just finished the temple, Ezra. Thank you, Pastor Ezra. We just finished the walls. Now we're able to rejoice. And here's God's word. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, we've missed it. We've blown it. My question to you, church, my question to me really quick is, if you knew Jesus was right around the corner, if you knew he was coming back in 2026, would your life change any? You would. Because you'd sit there and go, you know what? I'm not going to sweat all that small stuff. I'm going to focus on walking closer to Jesus. Because the enemy's tool, come on, somebody, the enemy's tool is to get us so busy that we forget the Lord's coming back and he's using us and he's growing us. There's been some fights. And so the Levites go, okay, listen, rejoice. And this is what I say on Sunday morning. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Rejoice. Enjoy. And all the people went and they, you know what? They all ended up at Rosa's after service. This is where we're going. Okay, everybody, we're going to Rosa's. And this is, we're just going to eat and drink and we're going to send portions. And we all understood God's word. And we all said amen. Amen. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.